Last time we were in verses 6 and 7 about walking. This is the way you walk in Christ. Today is about where not to walk, where not to go. I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8. And today is verse 8 is our focus. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, or keep walking in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let's stop there. Beloved brethren, beware of liars and deceivers. This is not a game. It is deadly serious. Paul is emphasizing this. Back in February, winter of 1993, one night, it was a Sunday night, Chris and I turned on the TV to watch the news. And the lead story in the news was about a shootout in Waco, Texas, between the Branch Davidians and ATF officers. And when we first saw the first footage that I remember seeing of that event, my first thought was, this has got to be a major drug bust that went bad. I mean, ATF officials, they've got protective gear on, they've got big guns, and they're up on the roof and they're shooting. And I think 7 or 8 people were killed in the shootout. The Branch Davidians and ATF, it was not a drug deal. No, it was about a false teacher, a lunatic named David Koresh from Garland, Texas, who had duped people into thinking that he was the last prophet of God. He actually declared that he was the Christ. He was a blatant heretic. He was a vile deceiver, and he was a demonized man. And 51 days after that event, that February winter day, 51 days later, he and 79 others died in a blazing inferno with their comrade. And some of you are old enough to remember it. Some of you children, some young people are so young, you don't remember, you maybe have heard about it. But they all died in this inferno of flames and the buildings going up. But I doubt that any of his followers who first hooked up with David Koresh ever thought it would end this way for them and their children. So let me say again, beloved brethren, beware of deceivers. They're out there. Some of them are smiling with big empires. Come, be a part of our big program. Some of them are building compounds with rifles and ammunition. But they're out there. This is Paul's theme in chapter 2. You remember when we began chapter 2, I said, what Paul's going into now is protecting. He's being the shepherd of shepherds. He's guarding them. He's in prison. He's writing to them. Be careful. This is serious business to the Apostle Paul. And this is not the only time in his epistles that he writes these warnings. Be careful. You young people, be careful who you listen to. In verses 8 through 23, essentially, the text is dominated by the negative. Negative things, dangerous things, stay away from things, things that will harm you. In verse 8, he begins a warning, beware. In verse 16, he begins a strong warning, let therefore no man judge you. And in verse 18, let no man beguile you, trick you, deceive you. And then he gives in each of those, verse 8, verse 16, verse 18, he elaborates on his warning. So it's serious business to the Apostle Paul. It's serious business to Lee and Jeff and Mac and Philip. It's serious business to anybody that's to guard and shepherd the flock and teach them and keep them. Now last time, we looked at verses 6 and 7, where Paul admonished the Colossian Christians, keep walking in Christ. You stay anchored, centered, focused on everything about Jesus Christ. That's what verse 6 and 7 talked about. Having been rooted and now being built up and established in the faith, as you've been taught, you abound therein with thanksgiving. You continue therein. Christ never becomes secondary. He's always primary, preeminent. He's the one that we're after. He is our life. He is the head of the church. He is the one that keeps us, loves us, and he does it by his Holy Spirit in us. So that was Paul's admonition. You continue, Colossian Christians. But as we move on to verse 8, Paul gets to the serious danger all around us. You want to put it this way, different types of David Koreshes in first century Christianity. In verse 8, Paul gives his first big warning. He gets to the particulars. He gives a warning, and then he elaborates by giving us specific things that they, the Colossians, and us today are to be careful about. Warnings about. One thing just to tell somebody to be careful, but it's more specific to say, watch out for this. Watch out for this. Be careful. Be on guard. So first, the warning. The King James uses this word, beware. Meaning, as the ESV says, see to it. Beware lest any man spoil you. ESV says, see to it that no man takes you captive. Sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? Come on now, you know, there's lots of religions out there. No big deal, right? You can try a little bit of this, dabble in this. It's not what Paul's saying. Beware lest any man spoil you or take you captive. Paul could not express the danger to the Colossians any more clearly than this statement. Stay away or see to it that you don't go the way of their trap. That's what he's saying. He's boldly saying to the Colossians, you better stay away from this. Because there's things happening in Colossae, in the extended area that they were living in, that were all full of men's ideas and bizarre teachings. Paul is saying, be vigilant. Keep your defenses up. That's why he said, you walk in Christ. You don't go this way. You stay with him. This is the way I'm going. This is the way I will continue today, tomorrow, the rest of my days. That's what he's telling them. It's not a small thing to keep walking or to keep running in Christ, to keep pursuing growth in grace. God's people, God's truth, the reality of the Christian life, the Holy Spirit building you, sanctifying you, and conforming you more to his image. It is not a small thing. It is the thing. It's got a lot of competition around it, though. Boy, does it ever. So Paul is saying, be on your guard. Don't be careless. You get careless, you're vulnerable. Why? Because he says in the ESV, I like the way it says it, you'll be taken captive. That's strong language, isn't it? Everybody likes to think, well, I'm my own man, right? But the Christian is under Christ. He is our great, glorious master. He is our Lord, our King. But if you're careless about the truth and pursuing him, you can be taken captive. David Koresh's out there can get you. They can get you. And there are all forms of teachings. We'll get into more specifics. But the language in the ESV says, take you captive. Some of you who have an ESV Bible, you might even look at your footnotes. The language is like military, or it deals with, it's a rare phrase, it's a rare word that was used in the Greek here. And it's this phrase or this thought that the danger to the Colossian Christians was that they could be overcome like a military force, or in the case your footnotes may read, like a ship on the ocean that pirates or other men come and may take the ship. They take you. They'll take you captive. They'll intercept your ship and they'll get you and everything that you're about. You will be subject to them. You'll be plundered. We don't use that word much anymore, but you'll be plundered. You'll be wrecked. You will be ruined. Can you imagine family members, siblings, parents, aunts and uncles that had to go to funerals for 79 people that burned to their death following a lunatic. They're out there. They're family members out there that would weep today, 20-something years later, of the loss of grandchildren or nieces or whatever that died with that madman. And it's happening today all across the world. Heretics and liars. This is not a day for us to be casual. Stand up for Jesus. Run with Him. Stay with Him. Love Him. You can be taken captive. So the warning here, the bold, unheld back, if you want to say that, untempered warning is, beware or see to it, beloved Christians, that you do not get taken captive by men. They will spoil you, they will ruin you, as the King James expresses. So be on guard. That's the warning. We get the warning, right? We understand the language. But Paul didn't just stop there. What does he say? Beware or see to it that no man takes you captive. Three things. Number one, through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy and vain deceit. Now note, this is important to note. Is all of philosophy bad? Is the field of philosophy, trying to study, trying to understand more of wisdom, more of things that we could behold that God has done, see, and created? Or if you're studying, you have a philosophy, I want to stay with this. Is all of philosophy bad? The answer is rhetorical. No, it's not all bad. Philosophy becomes a way of thinking and studying. So Paul's not condemning every part of philosophy. Otherwise, you'll catch yourself in the coming weeks and you'll say, oops. You'll say, well, you know, my philosophy is. Not all philosophy is bad. But Paul is talking about a philosophy that is contrary to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And there are plenty of them. You can't count them. Philosophies that are, as the text would say, vain. They're deceitful. They're corrupt. So Paul is saying, beware, somebody will take you captive, not by militant force, although Christians will probably be killed in the earth today. Yes, they'll be overcome. But he's talking about what they're trying to get you to believe. A philosophy, vain teaching, vain ideas, corrupt thoughts. Anything that's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ and His supremacy. You test everything according to the Scriptures, right? Would Christ teach this? Paul is saying, as you know Christ, you continue in Him. You don't go the way of vain philosophies, deceitful things. Men all around Colossae use corrupt teachings. I mean, they fabricated all kinds of bizarre things. We're going to get to some of the specifics. I mean, they would create these thoughts, these spiritual, pseudo-spiritual ideas, or requirements to go back to the rudiments of the world. We'll get to that. But they would create all these to do what? Entangle people, snare people. They keep people ensnared in their strange teaching, their false doctrines, if you want to call them that. Their requirements, their regulations. It's bondage. It's death. It's anti-Christ. It's not according to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is warning about. You could be taken captive, all right. Sometimes it's in our day, it's in literature or music or some form of the arts. And strange, sicko ideas get promoted and become normal in the culture because they're so celebrated through some entertainment media. But they are corrupt. I could go through decades of singers, rock and roll bands, not that I've studied them by God's grace, but I could just give types and pictures of writers. Even you'll read of producers of movies and directors, and they were corrupt to the core. And so they're promoting ideas in their medium, and it is dangerous. It's not just optional arts. It's dangerous. It's anti-gospel. It's anti-Jesus Christ. It's anti-truth. And Colossae had them. These men in their day fancied themselves in vain speculations. kind of created these bizarre ideas to snag you, to snag the Colossian Christians. They aim to impress men and draw them away into their web of lies. They would say things, they would create things that people go, now that sounds intriguing. We're talking about true Christians born of the Holy Spirit who are in Christ learning the fundamentals of living the Christian life, and all of a sudden around them, teachers are saying, I'll add more to that. Just like I was sharing a few weeks ago with Robert Tilton, 30, 40 years ago. You just come down here and I'll tell you more about the spiritual life, the higher life. You look up what's happening. A liar and a heretic. That's what they do. They promote lies to entangle people, and that's what was happening in Colossae. Don't listen to their philosophy. They're vanity. Think of how they twisted things. Good things. False teachers do. They can take something that's good, that's given by God, and they can twist it, and they can so distort it that now it becomes wrong and bondage. For example, food and drink. Somebody read the first time the New Testament. I said, there's a lot about food to idols, and stay away from this, or what about this? Do I have free? Why? We have to understand the context of the day, but food and drink. Teachers in the days of the Colossians, Christians would say, well, you can't have this, and you can indulge in this. So either excess or exclusion. False teachers twisted days and months. Every now and then you might meet somebody that comes from a really, really deep Jewish background. Not in Christ, not a Christian, Jewish. And they've got calendar things. Boy, they got to watch everything by calendar dates. Can't do this, can't do that. Certain foods, certain garments, certain activities. Are you going to add to your Christian life by doing that? No. You'll go there. They have twisted things like angels. God's got celestial beings, right? Angels, the holy angels, his messengers. And they, and Catholicism for centuries, tell you, let's worship angels. Where in the New Testament are you told to worship angels? You're not. It helps to read the Bible, right? And yet the Colossian Christians are young in the faith, by the grace of God. They're stable at this point. Paul says, keep going in Him. Keep growing in Him. Otherwise, you'll be worshiping angels. And Gabriel or Michael, one of the great angels, would say, do not worship me. We worship Him. The other night I had Jesse McHale. We'll get the scriptures. Let's read. Who prayed this? My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he who is mighty hath done great things. Holy and reverent is his name. Who wrote it? Mary. Mary would say, don't worship me. Worship the Lamb of God, the Savior. I worship God because he has put his Son, Messiah, up there. You get the point? See? Philosophy in vain deceit. Yes, they wanted the Colossians to join them. There's people around us today in this county who would want you to join up. Sign up. They're not going to take you down the path of Jesus Christ. They're going to slide you over into other things. They wanted the Colossians to join in. They wanted to take them away from their first love, Christ. There is only one love, Christ. There is no second. He is it. And they did it quite well. But as one man said, they were blind men trying to explain the magnificent colors of a rainbow. A blind person trying to tell you how magnificent the rainbow is. Can't do it, right? They don't see these things. Saints, don't follow blind men. Follow the one who took blind men and gave them sight. He is the Lamb of God, Christ. Don't follow blind men. History has recorded countless men like this. I remember in college, in my college days, particularly undergraduate school, and some of the history, the class wasn't anthropology, but it was the study of civilizations and people and certain rulers and how those cities came about and their empire. You're studying, you're seeing all these corrupt people and corrupt men, corrupt philosophers. I mean, they've been first century, second century, all the way through. Again, philosophy in and of itself can be a good thing, depending on how you handle it. But if it's non-centered on God and it's centered on the thoughts of men, it's going to go haywire. It's wrong. Plato and Aristotle, brilliant thinkers. Okay? We have to put some context in. Plato, and I'm not an expert in Plato, but he was trying to explain the state of souls of men once they depart from their body. He grappled with this. He wrote about it. He thought about it. He verbalized it. Plato. You know what came out of that? Essentially, the Catholics created purgatory out of that. There's no such thing in the Scriptures. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today you will be with me in paradise. There's no purgatory. You see, beloved, this is all around us. We've grown up with it. It's around us. Different. It's a little different than the day of the Colossians, but it's out there. We shouldn't be shocked when we see David Koresh that are out there. It's sad. I'm not saying it like gut-wrenching to watch that and see that unfold over the next 50 days. But we ought to be on guard. So Plato, what about Aristotle? Grappling with the existence of the world, the eternality of things. Came up with some bizarre ideas. They're out there. Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. I think I understand. I think that's the authority. That's what I need to give my thoughts to. So my point is, this thing of philosophy and vain deceits were there around the Colossians and so dangerous. They're dangerous for us. That's why it's critical where you young people go to college, what kinds of subject matters you give yourself. How do you read and think properly? How do you stay anchored in this? Beloved, it is from the Bible and not the mouth of philosophers that we receive truth. Okay? We don't need extra-biblical truth. Theological schools all over this country are corrupt to the core because they went after additional truth. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, name them, worldly, godless, God-believing, arrogant, full of men's ideas, and corrupt to the core because they departed from what the men who founded those institutions taught of the Scriptures. We have some of those colleges in our region. It's not a game. Beware, beware, lest any man or you get taken captive. Well, that's the first warning. The second warning, he says, after the traditions of men. Now, at face value, that can sound too intense, does it? We have traditions. You have traditions, right? You may have traditions to go back to your childhood. You may have traditions at Thanksgiving. You may have traditions of how you do birthday parties or times of celebration. You may have traditions of things you do with others, for others. Mac and Philip going to a baseball game once a year. That's a tradition. It's a good one. And we talk and share all the things of God together. But that's traditions that are good in a wholesome way. I'm not saying that those are wrong. But the Scripture in total usually speaks of traditions as those teachings that are passed down from one generation to the next. So if you start doing a word study, you read traditions that are passed down. But here, Paul's in the warning side of traditions. Paul's in the camp of warning against corrupt, life-threatening traditions. The traditions of men. There's the key right there. It's what men come up with. And Paul, unequivocally, is against it. Don't go after the traditions of men. Meaning those what men craft of their own thought. There is no biblical base. You may have traditions that connect to special things about biblical truth or the Reformation celebration or something like that. And those can be God-honoring and be full of value. They can be edifying. But traditions that men craft, like they did to the Colossians, traditions or things that they're passing on as though this is the spiritual life, that's where you got to be careful. That's where you got to stay away from. Traditions that are this pseudo-spiritual stuff And it happens in our day with a little bit of scripture here and there. Oh yeah, they'll say to you, yeah, we believe that too. Do you really believe that? When the Jehovah's Witnesses or others you encounter, Jesus is the Son of God. He's equal with God. He's the second person in the Trinity. At that point, anybody that comes from a traditional Jehovah's Witness position is out of your league at that point. They don't want anything to do with that. Jesus is the Son of God, exalted on high, divided into the Almighty. I and my Father are one. Don't want to hear it. They won't hear it. They have different traditions. They craft different theologies, we're going to use that word, different ways of thinking, different ways of truth, different forms of salvation. And they're called traditions of men. They are dangerous. Paul is warning us. They've had men that craft them, men that write them, not God's word that establishes them. I bet I could go around the room right now and ask men and women here, you raise your hand and tell me, in the previous month in August, did you talk to somebody, family, friends, somebody else, co-worker, and did something come up about truth? And did you have to reference the scriptures to state your position? It's amazing how many people would look at you with a blank look. Purgatory? Where did y'all come up with that? Transubstantiation? This is a symbol. Jesus Christ is resurrected. He's not remaking himself in flesh again. That is a grievous, wicked lie. Wrong. Man, you read the Puritans and those guys, they didn't hold back. They called it for what it is. We celebrate Christ in life. This is just a form of remembering him. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of him. But you see, if you start having men craft traditions, craft new ideas, it ends up with burning buildings and people and children dying because they follow the man. Or they go and they take this holy walk and they crawl on their hands and their knees and they buffet their bodies and they do all kinds of bizarre things to try to earn salvation or try to earn favor. And the glory of Jesus Christ is nowhere remotely close to it. Nothing to do with their cross. Traditions oftentimes promise benefits, but in the end, they disappoint or destroy. Traditions oftentimes promise you a new way of living, and they turn a person from the way of God and the way of salvation in Christ. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark, our great Savior, Lord Jesus, speaking. Verse 6. Pick it up in this. This is worth looking at. So he's in a conversation with the Pharisees. There's this debate. And Jesus says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now listen to him. This is Christ speaking. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There it is. You can say the traditions. He goes on and uses it. For laying aside the commandment of God, what do they do with what God's commanded? They lay it aside. They throw it out. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. You get the point? Washing of cups? That's going to be what makes you pure? Washing of cups? Keeping utensils? He's speaking as though that's a spiritual, that you put more value on that. Clean the inside. Christ cleans the inside. He cleans us on the inside. He gives the true washing, the true circumcision of the heart. But men that pass on these traditions and create new ones, they prescribe the spiritual life for you and some new requirements for you to walk in. The Catholic popes have done this for centuries. I mean, you could take what a Catholic pope said in 800, and you can look at a Catholic pope in 1580, and you can look at a Catholic Pope in the last few years, and you go, it seems like these three guys are completely different from each other. You see, they're moving all over the map. Popes have done this for centuries. Traditions. The Pharisees obviously starts in the New Testament. Joseph Smith did this with his Book of Mormon. It is very difficult for me to be in a hotel now and have a Bible and a Book of Mormon often. Have you seen that? Oh, you don't know how much I just want to toss that morning. I'm thinking, I can't do it. Yeah, I could, but my conscience would bother me. But that Book of Mormon is full of lies. Extra-biblical revelation. It's a lie. It is a tradition, if you want to call it, a new tradition that's promoted among men. It has ultimately no honor for the glory of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. So men are prescribing traditions or new ways to live a spiritual life. David Koresh, I don't necessarily suggest that you do this, he claimed all kinds, or he promoted all kinds of evils by his authority. And it's not even appropriate for me to mention him here of what he thought about his role as the head of those people. So demonic, so evil, so corrupt. The first two sentences I heard that night on the news when they showed who was their leader, I think I turned to Christian and said, that guy is a heretic. Born in 1956 in Garland, Texas. As a young man said, he was converted. And then if you keep reading, and it says that from there, he really went on to DP. He didn't start in Christ, and he didn't continue in Christ. It's false. The traditions of men. Beloved, don't listen to the traditions of men. New ideas, new teachings, formal things. Got to do this. Can't do this. Number three, after the rudiments of the world. So Paul's warning is what? Be careful, you young people. Boy, if I went back to college now, I'd have to go through some of those classes. I'm not sure I could sit through them. Because I'd be, Dr. Smith?
That's a lie.
Jesus said, Professor Williams, please stop. Don't say anymore. Don't corrupt the people in this room anymore. I mean, you would feel it. You would. You know, I'm older now, obviously, but I would see things. I would struggle with things because it's in higher education, it's just the norm. Men fancy themselves in it. Hey, my dear dad that I love so much, he's taught accounting for 42 years. The academic world is not some distant thing in my mind. I kind of understand some of the inner workings of it. And sometimes he'll not talk about it to this day. But they come up with these bizarre ideas that have nothing to do with the honor of Christ. In fact, it's become sport to make a mockery of a Christian in college, right? Beloved, now listen. So third, this rudiments of men. I'm sorry, rudiments of the world. The warning, and now, beware of philosophy, vain deceit, beware of traditions of men, and beware of the rudiments of the world. This, what they're teaching about, the rudiments, these things. You just kind of have to grapple with the language a little bit here. You can read different commentators and they'll be all over the map with different thoughts. But the elements or the rudiments of the world, let's get at beside what it's not talking about. It's not talking about the created organic world. Earth, water, mountains, rocks, wind. Okay? He says, these men are about teaching or promoting this thing of the rudiments of the world. It's not talking about they're elaborating on how to relate to created things. That's not what he's talking about. By rudiments, Paul means ceremonies and carnal practices that grew out of Mosaic teaching. We see this clearly in the New Testament days when Christ was walking. They created all kinds of rudiments or teachings, requirements based on going back to Mosaic law and crafting and twisting it and adding new requirements. Jesus confronted them often on this. You say this, but I say unto you, Christ had the authority. So this thing of teaching people, you've got to go back to these rudiments, these practices, these ceremonies. Oh man, that was real in that first generation or two of the Christians. So much in Judaism was still being carried over. And it was hybrid versions of it. You might every now and then meet somebody that has some bizarre Old Testament or Old Covenant practices that they want to put on you. And every now and then when I talk to somebody that's a Christian that loves the Old Testament, we love the Old Testament. The Old Testament is telling us how glorious the New Testament in Christ is. But I love the Old Testament. Every now and then you'll find somebody that's camping out, trying to live, supposedly, the Christian life in the Old Testament. Don't go there. The Christian life is in the New Testament. We're in the New Covenant. The Old Testament shows you the majesty of what we have in Christ today. You're not trying to create certain ceremonies, certain foods. If you choose certain foods for dietary purposes, amen. I hope it helps you. It's good. But we're talking about for spiritual edification, for growth in grace, to please God. It's not about food. It's not. It's not about those kinds of ceremonies. It's not about how much work you do on one day versus another day. It's not about what types of garments that you wear in terms of the mix of fabrics. And I've mentioned these in the past because it's relevant to the context of these days, these letters. Paul's writing. So the rudiments are these teaching, these practices that were required. If you plainly said it, it's bondage to ceremony. Bondage to ceremony. Look down at verse 20, same chapter, Colossians 2. Look down at verse 20 and 21. Paul says, "Wherefore, if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," ceremonialism, right? Requirements. "Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" In parentheses, "touch not, taste not, handle not." And then in verse 22, "which are all to perish with the user, after the commandments and doctrines of men." Paul is saying, why? If Christ has conquered that, if Christ has fulfilled all of the old covenant requirements, all of the law, he's pleased the Father, and he's brought us into the new covenant, why are you going back to this? Why would you? The answer is, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. So you're not just avoiding philosophy and vain deceit. You're not just avoiding traditions. You're avoiding these rudimental type teachings, these requirements of practices and ceremonies and washings and offerings. Go over to Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Just a few pages back from Colossians. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 9. Sounds funny. Here's the ESV. I want to read it in the ESV. I didn't bring it up. Excuse me. Galatians 4 verse 9. He says, "But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored for you in vain." See? Again, the rudiments, these requirements, these ceremonies. The King James uses the word beggarly elements, weak and beggarly, lacking. Why do you go back to that? You get the point. Paul is saying, do not entertain me. You're not bound by those. This is not Paul saying you have license to do anything you want. That would be a complete wrong, corrupt way of jumping to the wrong conclusion. Paul's saying if you're to walk in Christ, you're to be about everything that He is. But you don't go back to traditions, right? You don't go to new philosophies. And you don't go back to rudiments of the world or ceremonies and practices that came out of Mosaic law. You don't go there. Yes, the false teachers in Colossae had a mix of all of this. They had, if you want to call it, they just kind of had hybrids all over the place. Ceremonialism, angelolatry, the worship of angels, asceticism, Gnosticism, all kinds of things in their own way were being promoted in the days of the Colossians. So often, men are trying to add more to Christ, either completely to turn away from Him or say, you've got to add this. Beloved, it's pure heresy. David Koresh would have let you bring your Bible in there, ESV or anything else. You get my point? That doesn't mean that David Koresh would have said, you need that Bible you got in your hands? You better put that back in your car. You're not coming in my group. Oh, yeah, he said you could bring it in. But then he would say, I'll tell you what, why don't you close that, and I'll tell you the new revelation of God, who I am and what you're to be doing. That's a lie. The Bereans were great in that what? They tested the Scripture. They tested. They proved all things according to the Scriptures, and so should we. Every now and then I'm reading something, or I read a come across something, and I read it and I go, ah, ooh. And I'm talking about men that I might admire, and I'm just struggling with some of the thoughts, maybe where they're going with it. Every now and then I'll say to Mac, I'm not sure about this. He might say to me, I do. But the point is, be discerning. You wind up with this. What's the real problem in all this? Beware. Stay alert. Be on your guard. Vain philosophies, new traditions, or traditions of men are the rudiments of the world. The big problem is they're not after Christ. End of verse 8. And not after Christ. That's the real problem. That's the real problem all around us today. That's the real problem with talk show kind of ideas and many ways to God and all these kinds of crazy teachings. Is that when it's not after Jesus Christ, it's not sound, it's not good, it's not pure, it's not life-giving. Not after Him. False, man-centered teaching has been out there for 20 centuries since Christ. Before that too, but particularly once the gospel of Jesus Christ took over when the atonement of His life was given. And the resurrection, and the disciples went forth, the apostles. Man-centered teaching and false ideas have been promoted every single century. And they do not give Christ the honor due His name. He doesn't have the honor. He doesn't have the preeminence. He's nowhere, if I can say this. This is true at Princeton and Yale. I'm just saying it. Christ in His purity, His preeminence, who He is, His attributes, His majesty in terms of reigning and actively ruling in all things. It's not even talked about. It's not even acknowledged. You have men that say they're theologians that don't even talk and worship and adore Christ Jesus. That's an oxymoron. Right? Those who know Him worship Him. Those who know Him follow Him. Those who love Him love His Word. They feast upon that. They're not interested in new ideas. They're interested in wearing this book out and getting the next one and wearing it out. Learning it, studying it, noting it, taking it in, being about the Scripture. But false, man-centered teaching doesn't, as Paul says, it's not after Christ. It'll take you away from your trust in Him and your devotion to Him. And yet, with one blow, with one true statement here, one blow in a sense, Paul takes the axe to the foot of the tree. He levels all of these as false teachings. Philosophers and vain deceivers. Men who promote traditions of men. Men who take you back to the rudiments of the world. Paul says, take an axe to it. Not for you. Not for you, Colossian Christians. Not for you, Denton Christians. Not for you, true child of God. Sometimes we come to these passages and they're fearful, aren't they? They are fearful. Because they're real. They're real warnings. People get thrown away all the time. Sometimes there's subtle things out there. Beloved, let me close. So for us, for you men, for you women, for you young people, the same warning applies. The same warning applies for you and me. The same warning applies to my children. To all of those that we love, those that we speak the truth to, beware. Beware of deceivers and liars and heretics. They're out there. Some of them are building compounds, loading up guns, wanting to be militant. Some of them are doing it that way. It seems pretty extreme, doesn't it? Some of them are building entertainment centers with all kinds of programs and games and nothing about knowing and growing in Jesus Christ. Those look pretty slick. Those look very Americana. They look like Disney's package to it. Sometimes when I see things under the name of the Christian banner, I think Disney must own that, and they're just playing it. They're crafting it for their own pocketbook. Disney would look on, talk about their executive people, and say, man, that's slick. Disney would sort through it all and say, I'm not finding anything about Jesus Christ in this. This is pretty good. Krista and I saw the other day some commercial, didn't we? It was just this soft, weak, non-gospel message about coming into their church and having a good time. How do you reconcile that against the book of Acts and these epistles? Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. It's out there. So, beloved brothers, sisters, young people, beware. They're out there. Deceivers are there. You must be on guard against anything that's not after Christ. We're committed to Him. We're committed to His Word. We're committed to growth in Him, knowing Christ and walking with Him. God help us. All of us. Let me pray. Father, we know you give warnings as much as you give wonderful promises in your word, in this Bible. We give warnings. The Lord Jesus gave warnings over and over. He warned his men, he warned those listeners. Take heed how you hear. Through him have his ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, I pray that we would listen to what you said to Paul. We would take heed to this. That we wouldn't go after vain things. We wouldn't go after traditions and rudiments and practices of the world. We'd be after Christ. Keep your people. Bless them. May your word be their guide. May your truth forever keep them and what they think and how they walk and how they live the Christian life. Blessed be your name, O God, the God of glory and grace, through Christ. Amen.